My name is Nate LeJay Turner Hassel, and I am the principal of School 2 in Troy for the Troy City School District. And School 2 is located right in North Central Troy.
How do you feel education fits into bigger conversations about racial, economic equity?
It's, to me, it's at the very heart. It's probably the most important area in that conversation. As a child, I had learned very early on in life about inequalities and inequities. I didn't know what equity was at the time, but I had learned. I'm from DC, and I made a transition in middle school from DC public schools to South Colony. So if anyone knows DC in the 80s, it was very much so. I mean, it was called Dark City, and mainly because it was primarily Black African American. So I had this major sort of shift from DC public schools to now South Colony, more suburban sort of feel. And that stood out. The experience, just everything about it was really, really different. And I remember being really grateful to my dad, who early on I was very resentful because he spent a lot of time sort of affirming me and who I was, you know, as a young Black girl. And I kept saying, you know, Dad, I don't even understand what you're talking about. Like, you know, I just want to do this and you just don't get me. But it was a great experience, especially thinking forward as to what was to come.
What kinds of things was your dad telling you?
Black is beautiful. You know, my father was very strict about what I watched on TV. That was really big. I remember the types of TV shows and cartoons. Those were the things that would make me so mad. But he was very much so about whatever image that I saw of myself, that I needed to see myself, you know, just how he saw me. That's how he would say it. How I see you is how I want you to see yourself. And of course, that's very convoluted as a child. What the heck does that mean? I just want to watch, you know, She-Ra right now, or the Wildcats, or whatever was on. One of his big ones was The Little Rascals, which I always wanted to watch, but he refused to let me watch The Little Rascals because of how certain characters were depicted. So those were the types of things. He always taught me to have a voice. I remember my father always saying to me, tell me how you feel, tell me what you think. And so I was very much so nurtured in a way to tell how I think and how I feel. But then when I changed and went to South Colony, it was probably, like I said, for one of the first times that I didn't feel like I was seen at all. And I just remember that. And so I guess that kind of goes back to your question of education. And sort of that was the first time that I felt something that didn't necessarily feel good. And it really stood out. And again, another defining time in my life. I say that School 2 principal was very definitive and defined something in me. But that did, it made me realize what my father had affirmed. And that came out full-fledged. And it was celebrated by some and not so celebrated by others. And so that is sort of, if I didn't, you know, now thinking about it, there was the connection for me with education and race and equity. I didn't have the words for it at the time, but I think that's where it started to get sort of stirred up and things were becoming pretty clear to me.
What do you wish people knew about public education?
I wish that people, families, knew how much power they have, the power of advocating for and asking for what you need and what you deserve. However, I realize that, you know, you don't know what you don't know sometimes. I wish, similar in the sense of using power, I wish people would know what a vehicle of change public education is and can be for our society, the future of our society. I wish people realize that there is a platinum opportunity in education and what we do for young people as far as changing the course. And I don't necessarily think that it's a secret. I just don't believe that people really understand its real power. I think most people would articulate, yes, children are our future, but I don't know if they really get what that exactly means and what we could do with that.
Are there ways for our listeners who might not have school-aged kids to support the schools?
Yeah, I say if you have a young person in your life, you don't necessarily have to have school age. You don't necessarily even need to have children of your own. Oftentimes the work that we do here at School Too, I have people reflect on their own journey in education and think about the times in education that were really great. You know, what was a really great moment that you can think back to while you were in school? And look for ways to do that for someone else or do that for another school to maximize that and turn that into something bigger. I always just say that, think of those great moments and think about how you can give that to someone else. That's probably one of the greatest gifts you could give to a child or to anyone, you know, is what was great for you. You know, perhaps that can be great for someone else. And then it's that much more emotionally or it's that much more empathic, which would make it more powerful because it's a connection that you've made even to yourself, you know, and what that feeling that you had.
Is there anything on like a policy or action level that you think people can do?
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. I was looking at something today. I forget his first name, but Vernon is the last name. And he had a PBS special that talks about Make It Plain. And he was very big on Wall Street, a Black man. And that was his sort of biggest initiative. It was policy. Everything sort of starts and ends with policy. Or maybe not starts, but ultimately should end with policy if you really want to make change. So the big thing is, the list would go on. The umbrella statement is to really sort of argue and push for and advocate for equity in education. And I would encourage people to really, sort of look that up, to really sort of know what you're speaking about. Oftentimes people use the terms equality and equity interchangeably. And I would say they are not the same. There are elements that sort of, you know, touch upon each other, but they are not the same. And what really needs to happen from a policy standpoint and really sort of in all its complexity is really arguing for equitable education. And I would say across the gamut, public schools first, because we think of where there's not necessarily financial backing, there's more risk for exploitation. But I would say in all of our settings to really think about that. And I would also say, you know, pushing for curriculum around civic learning, more humanitarian sort of work, more work around, what does it mean to be civic minded is really, really important.
Is there anything I haven't asked you that you think folks should know?
I think that education, if there is any system where you really, I think in many ways you can have major impact, but if you really want to have, I always say that people are the best sort of remedy to make sustainability happen. People are always looking for sustainable change. And if you change people, more than likely you'll be able to sustain whatever, because the people will then champion for whatever it is. And the best place to do that is with children as you're developing them, is that, you know, if we do right by them, that is our best chance of sustainable change. This is a system that really deserves us really putting sort of first, prioritizing this. If we do this, you will see how you won't have to think about doing reform over here. You won't have to, because the people that are coming out of our biggest system will go into these other systems and be better. And we won't be then at the end saying, how do we change all this systemic sort of not great stuff. You change it right from the beginning, from the very people who will eventually be in those positions or places.